Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and I am joined in the studio today by my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. Chris is the teaching pastor and really serves as the associate pastor, executive pastor of First Baptist Church, Texarkana, Texas. Chris, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Well, we had our deacons meeting last night, and
yes.
Chris and I, we meet with the new deacons, the guys that have just come on board every year, and we go through a book with them, and it's called A Deacon on Purpose, Four Biblical Essentials by Dr. Tony Wolfe. And I was thinking that might be good to discuss. All of us are, if you're in the church world at all, you know about the term deacon. You know, I've heard that. I know that they're pastors and they're deacons. But a lot of us don't really know what is a deacon? What is a deacon supposed to do? Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul tells Timothy, listen, here are the qualifications for a pastor. He calls him an overseer. And the word for overseer is episkopos, where we get our word Episcopalian. An episkopos is a bishop, an overseer. And he tells us how that guy's supposed to have these qualifications. And then he goes straight into deacons. Deacons likewise. The qualifications for a deacon are very similar to the qualifications for a pastor. Deacons likewise are to be men of dignity, not double-tongued or addicted to much wine or fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of faith with a clear conscience. These men must also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. And so the office of a deacon. Now, Chris, a deacon is a servant.
Right.
That's what that word means.
Right. A servant of the church, obviously a servant of God, and really a servant in helping the staff of the church.
Right. And so we believe that you run into the first deacons in Acts chapter 6 when they were having a problem with the servers or serving the widows.
Taking care of the widows, yeah.
And as my friend John Bassanio, who's in heaven now, he said, really in Acts chapter 6, you had a cat fight. You had the Hellenistic widows and the Jewish widows, the Hebraic widows, and they were, one was feeling slighted, and so they were upset with one another. And, you know, when a woman gets upset with another woman, he kind of facetiously called it a cat fight. And here's what the disciples said. The 12, the apostles, summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word." The statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, and these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid hands on them.
The first deacons.
The first deacons, and their job was to quell the unrest that was being started in the church between the bickering women, and to help the apostles to free them up so that they could devote themselves to prayer and the ministry of the word.
So yeah, so then the apostles could start the church, the preaching, the teaching, the key factors of starting the church, so they wouldn't be hung up in the minutiae of those other things.
And I think one of the things, Chris, and I know you pastored for many years, and churches sometimes can have difficulties with deacons because deacons, they forget what their role is, mm-hmm. to serve, mm-hmm. and they want to rule.
Yeah. Now, so I come from a totally different perspective because I pastored in a different denomination where we didn't have deacons. We had a church board, mm-hmm. which was a lot different. And then here in this church, I've been here 6 years with a deacon, what do you call it, a body.
Deacon body.
Yeah.
Not a deacon board.
Way different. Extremely different.
Yeah. So you're
a blessing.
Was your board
made decisions with with the pastor, like voted and made decisions with the pastor.
And the church didn't make the decisions, the board made decisions?
Some things would go to the church for a vote. Our church really loved to vote. We did a lot of voting. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the board had a lot of power, a lot of influence.
Yeah, and I think in some churches, when you have pastors that don't stay long, you know, a church, like a seminary church, tends to have a lot of students as pastors, mm-hmm. and they're there for a couple of years, and then they graduate and go. And so the deacons have to kind of step up and hold things together because the pastor is he's not a...
Well, even, or if you're saying like that in a seminary town with a seminary church, it's going to be a younger leader, mm-hmm. so you're going to need those older, more mature leaders that... you know, that the deacons could offer.
Right. Now, the problem that you run into is when deacons say, hey, my job is to run the church, and uh-huh. you're going to do it my way. Uh-huh. And, you know, there are things, I remember when I was in North Carolina in the 90s, getting my seminary degree, racism was a big deal mm-hmm. in the church, especially. Mm-hmm. And one guy, he had baptized a black family, and one of the deacons got upset. And I still mm-hmm. remember this was talked about in seminary, that the deacons went to this guy and said, Pastor, we don't care what the Bible says. We're not going to do that. And
it's a bad statement when you start by saying, we don't care what the Bible says.
Yeah, that's just awful. And so those situations... I mean, how's God going to bless a church like that?
Right.
He's not. You're going to go through the motions. It doesn't mean that your church is going to shut down tomorrow, but it does mean you can write Ichabod over the door. The glory of the Lord has departed. God's not going to bless a place like that.
Yeah, and so in a smaller church, when the deacon body, if they have kind of like, a power trip, mm-hmm. you know, they want to be in charge, they want to have some control, that could really cause some problems. There could be some really good leaders that can really help, but if you have some bad leaders, it's a small church and it's a small deacon board, they can have, or deacon body, they could have a lot of negative influence.
Well, and to remember that a deacon, diakonos, means servant. Mm-hmm. You're a servant. You're not a king. You're not a ruler. You're mm-hmm. a servant. And so when I went to a conference in 2003 with Adrian Rogers, he did a conference for pastors with 50 pastors. And he said, you know, at Bellevue Baptist Church, this is 2003, he said, our church is pastor and staff led and deacon served and committee operated. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, if the pastor doesn't lead the church, if it's led by the deacons, that's not a healthy church because, you know, sad reality, a lot of times the deacons are not necessarily held to the same standard, or, you know, they're power brokers or whatever. The pastor is not to be a power broker. He's to be a shepherd. He's to lead the flock and feed the flock and guide the church in the word, and to be aware of danger and to fight off the wolves and those kinds of things. But he's not a king.
Well, but to be able to focus on those main things of preaching, you know, which is usually one time or maybe two times a week, preaching the word of God, having good, thorough sermons, mm-hmm. and then also being praying for the church, shepherding the church, leading the church, those key aspects. And again, not to get stuck in the minutia of the other things that servants can do, mm-hmm. you know, people that have a servant heart can do.
Yeah. So like in Acts 6, serving tables to the widows. Mm-hmm. Well, that you didn't have to have an apostle do that. Mm-hmm. Somebody could come alongside and help them to free them up for prayer and the ministry of the word. And that's really how I see in the Bible. That's what deacons are to do. They're to work alongside with the pastor and the staff to help them do things, to free them up to be able to minister the word and to pray and to, you know, lead and feed the congregation. And so when all that's working well together, and there's give and take, just like in a marriage, you know, the husband is the head, the wife is to respect her husband, but the husband is not a dictator.
No.
And in a church, the pastor is not a dictator.
And just like in the marriage, you know, the wife could have some really strong leadership abilities. The deacons, we have some really strong leaders, some really solid leaders right. that are deacons. They're servant leaders, so they know what it's like to serve. They know mm-hmm. their important purpose of serving, but they are they are leaders. And right. with that gifting of leadership as well.
Right. And lead out in ministry and support the pastor. One of the things that in this little book, it's not a long book, but it's a powerful little book. One of the chapters has to do with what's a deacon? You know, so a deacon on purpose, four biblical essentials. And in session four, or chapter four, one of the jobs of a deacon is to support the pastor and staff. And, you know, we've heard horror stories from churches. I remember one guy wrote a book, Pastor Abusers, and he was talking about how some churches just abuse the pastor, and the guy, he gets beat up, and then he leaves, and they get a new guy who they beat up, and then he leaves, and they are pastor abusers, and this guy makes the bold statement, you know, that church doesn't deserve a pastor, and pastors need to be careful where they go.
Well, sometimes they think that, you know, don't want to read their motive, but I think sometimes the deacon thinks that they're holding the pastor accountable, that's their job to hold the pastor accountable, but they're doing more than holding him accountable. They're making his life miserable.
Right.
They're making it difficult. They're not making it easy to lead. And Dr. Tony Wolf has a good quote in session four. He says, if you want your church to move forward with Christ's mission, storming the gates of hell and heralding the light of the gospel, then do this, support your pastor and staff.
Mm-hmm.
Right on.
Amen. You know, and if your pastor's is doing something that is unbiblical, unethical, if he's leading the church into a ditch,
or if he doesn't see something, if he has a blind spot that he doesn't see it.
Right. You know, then it's by all means lovingly come alongside him and say, Pastor, I don't think we're going in the right direction. I don't think this is right or that's right.
Or help me to understand what's going on here.
Right.
What are you seeing here?
And having the approach that your pastor is innocent until proven guilty.
Benefit of the doubt.
Right. Instead of, I know you're guilty, now I'm just going to, you know, go Joe Friday on you with a light in your face. And I got to, you know, break you down because I know you're stealing. I know you're doing something, you know, under the table, unethical or whatever.
Putting him on the defense, and you're not going to get anywhere with that.
No, and nobody likes to be treated like that, like you're some kind of criminal and you hadn't done anything and you have to constantly defend yourself. Well, let me, you know, that's just misery. We had a church administrator one time, and a guy on the finance committee did that to her constantly. And, you know, I just think you're cooking the books. I think you're stealing money or whatever. She said it was miserable, and she told me privately. She said, if you ever put that guy on the finance committee again, I quit because I don't want to be treated like that. Nobody wants to be.
And
treated
she,
like
I know who you're talking about too. And she was a very trustworthy person.
Right. So your pastor should be innocent unless he does something that would prove him guilty in mismanaging the church, doing something that he shouldn't do, becoming unbiblical. And one of the big things we talk about on this program a lot, Chris, is when your pastor doesn't stand up for truth, by all means, call him out on that.
Well, you can challenge him. Ephesians 4:15, you could speak the truth in love, but you could take the pastor aside. You're praying for the pastor. You know, you're constantly praying for him, but I don't think the pastor wants just yes men around him that are just going to go along with whatever he says. And so you can bring things out in a loving way, in a gentle way, that are maybe blind spots for him, things he's not seeing, things that you think that he should be talking about.
Right. And you know, not getting the church into a jam, into a pickle. Sometimes pastors in their zeal can fail to, you know, really think things through. In a multitude of counselors, there's victory. And so I look at the deacons and the leaders in our church as, hey, you guys are a great sounding board. What do you think about this? I'm thinking and praying through that. Tell me your thoughts, you know, how the congregation feel about this. And so they can help a pastor tremendously. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. We're talking about what is a deacon and how is a deacon to function in the local church. We'll be right back after the break. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here along with Dr. Chris Schroeder. And we're talking about what is a deacon. You know, churches have pastors and they have deacons, those offices in the church. 1 Timothy chapter 3 talks about the qualifications of a pastor. As Paul says to Timothy, it is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, episkopos, it is a fine work he desires to do. And then he talks about that guy's qualifications, above reproach, the husband of one wife. You know, Chris, we have this situation with, you know, churches say, well, a woman can be a pastor. Well, is it? I guess she'd have to be a lesbian because she's supposed to be the husband of one wife. I mean, it's just, it doesn't work. That's just the way God set it up. A husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. He must be one. I love this one, Chris. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? And then it goes down to say about deacons. Deacons must be husbands of only one wife and good managers of their children and their household. Those two things for the leadership offices in the church, those two things the Lord zeroes in on, how you do marriage and family is important.
Well, I think also just if that should be your priority at that point. If your family is not in order, then that should be your priority. So you should pull yourself away from being in that kind of leadership position so that you can prioritize, focus in on what's needed in your family.
Yeah. Now, we've had discussions and conversations with people, and sometimes they can get a little testy with people that have a terrible home life, but they want to be leaders in the church. And you say, well, okay, you know, you have trouble at home. You've been married and divorced numerous times, and now this marriage is not going well that you're in. And so you need, exactly right, you need to get your house in order before you start leading in the house of God.
Right, just an issue of focus and focusing on the right things. That leadership in the church should not be your priority at this point. Your family should be your priority.
Right. So it is an important office in the church, the office of deacon. And the Lord says this, for those who have served well, 1 Timothy 3:13, for those who have served well as deacons, obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. You know, Chris, those early deacons in Acts chapter 6, they went on to do some pretty amazing things. Stephen was a strong preacher. He's the first martyr in Acts 7. And Philip in Acts 8 goes to Samaria, and the Lord uses him to lead a huge revival there with the Samaritans. So deacons are not just necessarily behind the scenes guys that has us do whatever the pastor tells me to do. That's not the position, but it is a position of come alongside the pastor to help him, to serve, to team with him. And a church that has a good relationship, pastors and deacons, they work well together. That church can really do a lot for the kingdom.
Yeah, we've seen that in our church. We have a very, very wonderful deacon body. And men of faith, you know, that's why I see in verse 13 is they're men who have a strong faith in Christ Jesus. So a great belief, you know, that God is going to come through his son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit's going to work in the church. And so they have that belief, they have that faith.
Well, and we talk about the fact that a pastor and a deacon, they're to be examples to the rest of the church. Hey, this is how you walk with God. This is how you trust God through hard times. This is how you do marriage. This is how you do family. And nobody does it perfectly. But if we can't say with Paul, follow me as I follow Christ, then something's wrong.
Yeah, and I just think of the powerful message that sends. We have these deacons who are strong leaders in the community. They have important positions in the community, professionals in the community, white collar and blue collar, but professionals. And now they're coming into the church, their place of worship, and they're serving, you know, and they're you know, they're doctors and attorneys and all that, but they are in the church and they are serving the widows and they're serving the people in need within the church. What a powerful message that sends, and what a powerful example that sets for the rest of the members of the church.
Now, we have the way we've set up our deacons, and as it, you know, states in our bylaws, the qualifications of a deacon, his character, and then just his attitude. If you have a guy that has an axe to grind, he's upset with the pastor, the staff, the direction of the church, he needs to talk to the pastor. He needs to talk to the staff. He needs to talk through, hey, you know, one-on-one or one-on with a couple of the staff, hey, I have a concern about this. Maybe bring another deacon with him. I have a concern about this. But the idea that I have a real burr in my saddle, so I want to become a deacon and create havoc, I call that an anti-deacon. That's somebody that, I mean, the purpose of deacons was there was a problem in the church, Acts chapter 6, with the widows fighting. And so we have these guys to quell that and to squelch that and to help.
Help the apostles.
Not to add fuel to the fire and create more turmoil and dissension in the church. That is an anti-deacon.
As a way to get closer into the inner circle, seeing the deacon as someone who's in the inner circle so that they can use that, you know, clout to then have a word with the pastor. You know, Dr. Wolf, this book that we're going through, A Deacon on Purpose, he says there's four key aspects of a deacon, and it's attendance. So obviously, coming to church, being there, you have to be there. Ministry involvement, so being involved in a ministry, whatever that ministry is, tithing and giving, and then his fourth one is attitude. And I mean, I think that's so crucial. Attitude is everything. Attitude is so important. And so he has that as the list of four things that are required of a deacon.
And, you know, I have respect for people that say, you know, Debbie and I talked about this yesterday. So you have Acts 15, you have Barnabas and Saul and Paul that are getting ready to go on missionary journey number two. And Barnabas wants to take his cousin, John Mark, and Paul says, we're not taking that loser. No, he bailed out on us.
Because he had bailed out earlier.
And so the scripture says there arose such a sharp agreement between the two of them that they parted ways.
Right.
And they couldn't go. Now, that didn't mean that Paul hated Barnabas and Barnabas hated Paul. It just means that, okay, we're not going to be able to come to an agreement here. And so why don't you, so Barnabas took John Mark. We don't really hear much about them anymore. And the narrative switches. It's just now about Paul and Silas. But, you know, sometimes in a church, you can have a situation where good and godly people disagree. And they don't have to be disagreeable, but it could be, hey, we're going to need to part ways. I'm going to need to find, you know, another place to worship if this is the direction the church wants to go. And, you know, I'm odd man out in the congregation or in the leadership of the deacons. Then I don't need to start a fuss and try and create dissension. That would be opposite of what the Lord would want me to do. But maybe I need to go somewhere else where I can feel more in line with the direction.
Yeah, I mean, the mindset should be that I'm not here to build my own little kingdom, but it's God's kingdom. And so if we part ways, we can be more effective in ministry as we work not side by side, but in different places.
Well, we're talking about what it means to be a deacon, and no doubt we have some deacons and some pastors listening to the program, and lots of church members, and maybe you have a church situation where the deacons really run the church. I don't think that's a healthy church situation. I can understand it if the church maybe is not one that has a pastor that stays for very long. You know, some churches, sad to say, become stepping stones for pastors, and they're in this little congregation and they go to a bigger congregation and bigger congregation. When I had Richard Blackaby on the program just recently, you know, his dad never looked at the size. It was just...
And he pastored smaller churches, right?
Pastored smaller churches. I think the biggest church he pastored was, a couple hundred people, 200 or 300 people. Mm-hmm. And they kept growing by having other churches. They would send people out as they grew, hey, you start a church, and here's 20 people and to start the church. And I think they birthed, at the church he was in Saskatoon, they birthed like 30 congregations or something like that.
And he wrote a pretty good book in that time.
Yeah, experiencing God. So Richard, this was interesting, Chris. Richard, I had asked him, I said, well, what did your dad do with all the money that came from? Mm. He sold 8 million copies in 75 different languages. And he said, my dad, his deal on the book was, here's $2,500, write the book. And he didn't get any royalties.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
So he said that was a little bit of a sore spot because the book was such a gigantic hit.
Yeah. And for such a long period of time.
Yes, still today, people are doing that. He said now, with updated versions and things like that, they had a different deal. But, you know, you didn't write the book to make money. But if the book sells like hotcakes, you would love to be able to share in that.
Well, even one of our college leaders in our current ministry is discipling a young believer with that book. So they're college age,
right?
And they've gone to Experiencing God. Out of all the newest books written, cooler contemporary books, that's the book that they want to disciple through.
And so Henry wrote that, I think, in the early 90s. That's when that came out. So it's 30 plus years old and still fresh and speaks to people today. Well, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment, we would love to hear from you. You may have a situation in your church where there's difficulty and the pastor and the deacons are not getting along and there's dissension. And that's the enemy loves to do that, to create dissension. And one of the things that I think this is interesting, Chris, 1 Timothy 3 talks about the pastor, talks about the deacon, and then it talks about the women. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. A malicious gossip, the word for malicious is diabolos, which is devil, a false accuser. And when people start to gossip in a church, that just destroys unity, that creates all kinds of dissension and problems and turmoil. And a church that's filled with turmoil cannot fulfill its mission to the outside world. You can't be salt and light when everything is chaotic at church.
When there's disunity.
Disunity and backbiting, and this person doesn't like that person, and this group hates the pastor, the choir hates the pastor, and whatever it might be. And, the phrase, it's lonely at the top, is really true. And so, one of the things that you read when, Moses was, we could say he was the pastor of the First Baptist Church in the wilderness, he didn't lead by consensus. Mm-hmm. He didn't take a vote every time. He's following the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. If he had taken a vote, what do you guys want to do? They wanted to go back to Egypt. And they, hey, we're not doing that. Mm-hmm. We're going to move forward with the Lord, and we're going to pray, and we're going to seek His face. We're going to ask God, show us what you want us to do. Show us what you want us to be, because we want to be the church you want us to be. We want Jesus to be glorified here. And it's not a question of, well, let's pull every single person and see what they want.
But when you do that, every time you vote, someone's going to lose the vote. And so you vote a lot, you're creating people that are losing, and they're getting frustrated because they're losing the vote, you know? And so every time I know there's times where you have to.
Yeah.
But you want to not vote as much as possible.
Well, you vote on things that are substantial,
right?
That move the church forward. When you talk about the color of the carpet, things that are, good and godly people can disagree. I hate red. I hate blue. I mean, those things aren't sinful.
Right. They're not life and death issues.
And they're not.
Eternity issues.
And they're just personal preference. Personal preference is not something to get the relationship out of whack over. Uh-huh. You just agree to disagree. Okay, well, you like this color. I like that color. We're just going to, get some heads together and come up with what's best for this. But when it comes to spiritual direction, that's a different beast. And so that's where we need to pray and say, Lord, you show us what to do. You know, it's just like Paul when he didn't know where to go, and he had the Macedonian vision, come over here and help us. Uh-huh. And he determined from that, God wants us to go here. Uh-huh. And because the Lord wasn't permitting them to go into Bithynia, they thought, well, that would be a good place to go. No, the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. So we have to be led of the Lord. Well, we have our friend Lee from Virginia on the line. Lee, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor. Reason I called today, I've been a member of a Baptist church my whole life, and I have served on a deacon board. And to me, it was one of the worst experiences that I ever had. I wish I'd have never been a deacon, because we would get into meetings, and they'd say, well, what we're discussing here is going to stay in this meeting. But then they would go right out of the meeting, and you could see them working among the congregation trying to line up votes. Mm. But my question is, the church that I belong to has always been their contention that if a pastor or a deacon, or a preacher or a deacon, either one, has ever been divorced, they're disqualified from being a deacon. They use that husband of one wife, mm-hmm. and says, well, he's been the husband of more than one wife. Mm-hmm. Now, I'd just like to know you and your guests' feelings on that. It's always been that way. And to me, we've met some mighty good people that would have made a good deacons, you know, because of that.
Yeah, great question, Lee. We're up against a break, but when we come back from the break, we'll answer that question. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. We're talking about what is a deacon and how the Lord has set up in the church pastors and deacons to work together to lead the church forward to be the church God wants it to be. We're up against a break. We'll be right back. I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, along with Dr. Chris Schroeder. We're talking about what is a deacon and how deacons function within the church, the way that the Scripture has set it up. And our good friend Lee from Virginia asked the question about divorce. Can a divorced man be a deacon? Now, the Scripture says that just like the pastor is need to be a husband of one wife, the deacon, he must be husbands of only one wife. I remember when I was in seminary taking a class on 1 Timothy, they said that meant a one-woman man. A deacon and a pastor are supposed to be a one-woman man. He's supposed to be faithful to his wife, faithful to his family. But does that mean that if you're divorced, you can no longer serve? Well, if it meant that you could only have one wife, then a man whose wife died and he remarried, he couldn't serve either because he would have had two wives. I think it does mean a one-woman man. Now, one of the things, Lee, we ask at First Baptist Texarkana when we are selecting deacons, we ask them about, okay, your marital history, your background there. If a man's been married more than once, we want to find out what happened, you know, if he's had a divorce in his past or maybe two divorces. We want to know what happened. We want to know how much time has elapsed. So if that happened, you know, oh, I got divorced 6 months ago. Well, that's probably not enough time. And you want to know the issue there. But I do not think that once a guy gets divorced, you take a guy, it's like, okay, not a Christian, married, it's not a good marriage. He divorces. 3 years later, he becomes a Christian and grows in the Lord, and the church recognizes that, hey, we want to make you a deacon. Well, I've been divorced, so I can't be a deacon. I don't think that's the situation at all. I think God's grace covers that, and that guy can serve in whatever capacity, even as a pastor.
Yeah, maybe if there's been godly sorrow where there's been conviction and there's been repentance and there's been a time of restoration, and now he's remarried, but he's faithful to his wife and he's, you know, leading his family in the way that the scripture talks about. So not disqualified forever.
Right. And so, Lee, I agree with you. I think the church loses a lot of good men that maybe made some bad decisions in their past. Or maybe, you know, Chris, in your situation, not that you were the perfect husband who never made a mistake, but you didn't want your first wife to leave, but you can't make her stay.
Right. Yeah. As a pastor, I had a failed marriage where my wife left, had an affair and left me. And so the church did keep me as pastor, but I had a time of restoration, a time away from the pulpit to go through healing and to go through, had to sit in front of boards and, you know, be restored into the ministry.
Right. So, Lee, I hope that's helpful, and I'm sorry you had a terrible experience as a deacon. I think that's the case for many people. You know, we would talk to people about being a deacon. Oh, I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to be a part of that, just grilling the pastor and the dissension.
Well, it's kind of like ignorance is bliss. I don't want to know too much and getting the, you know, it's just a shame that he had that experience because, it's not supposed to be that. It should be an honor to serve in that position.
Well, and it should be a wonderful experience. Hey, I'm with godly guys, and what are we doing? We're coming together. We're praying about situations. We're supporting the pastor. We're working with the pastor. He's telling us what's going on in the church, and so things we can pray about, things that we can serve and help. That's the way it's supposed to be.
And getting to be an influencer, you know, a godly influencer in the church. And so you want deacons who have, basically, if you spread out all the deacons, they're all over the life of the church. Mm-hmm. And so they're influencing people in a godly way.
Right. Well, Lee, I hope that's helpful, my friend.
Thank you.
You're welcome, brother. Thanks for listening to the program, and I always enjoy getting calls from you. Well, we have John on the line from Texas. John, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hello there, brother.
Hello.
You need to preface your whole show today by admitting what a great pastor you had to learn from.
Yeah, Dr. Damon Shook. He was super.
And your deacons. Yes, sir, and the deacons, because we would bring 75 kids over from our church when you had Wayne Watson, and that's another unfair advantage you had, because that guy would, you know, have the whole group standing up praising the Lord for 30 minutes before he gave his invitation, and then he'd give a 30-minute invitation. you're the one that was you made comment over the last few months about coming from Champion Forest, and during that time, if your wife liked the more pop music, I think we had started Light Force over there across the tracks, and I just wrote down quick while I was on hold here, The Cry, I Can't Stop Thinking About You, John Slitt with Petra, AA, Audio Adrenaline, We're a Band, and there's a group called Benjamin, Don't Tell Them You Love Them. And that thing was so good, it got played every hour by Jeff. But anyway, your church in Spring was always bringing the power team, and y'all had an unfair advantage. I got to meet your pastor in his office one day when I was fixing his telephone, and he wanted to know why I was wearing the Jesus is Lord pin on my softball umpiring cap. And I said, well, either he's your Lord or he's not, and if you're not going to talk about it, then you might have a problem. And like I say, I know that he smoothed over so much stuff going on between your deacons, because I got to talk to him when we came over there for a concert. I got to work up front because Ann Meyer was a friend of mine. So anyway, I just when I heard y'all talking about choosing a deacon, we had a split at my home church. I'm not going to call the name, but we were up in Houston, and we had a church split over trying to elect a deacon and not let him on the deacon board. I watched my dad go through that. He was a deacon early over there. The church is not there anymore, so there might be some people around. Airline Drive Baptist Church was a great church in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah,
and
well, John,
I got to grow up.
Yeah, very good. Well, I appreciate you calling in and appreciate you sharing that. Yeah, I was privileged to work with Dr. DeMond Shook on the staff at Champion Forest for 5.5 years before I came here to First Baptist Texarkana. So learned a lot from him and appreciated him so much pouring into my life. Well, God bless you, brother. Thank you for calling in. We have Luke on the line from Tennessee. Luke, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, brother. I've been listening to you for a while now, and I enjoy listening to your show every day.
Thank you. Go ahead.
My comment is about the deacon with one wife, or the pastor with one wife, in which, you know, we all grew up in the society here in the U.S. of A, where everybody has one wife. But I prayed about that situation and, you know, for discernment over it. And if we all think back to the time of Paul, and when all this was written, a lot of them guys had multiple wives. So I believe it's not just the fact of, you know, them marrying one time and then getting divorced and having another wife. What it was talking about, to my understanding, is that you can't have four or five wives and be, you know, a deacon, bishop, or pastor. Mm-hmm. And We all know that to be true, because if you get too many cooks in the kitchen, you're going to have too much complications. And furthermore, God did not intend for us to have more than one wife. And I feel sorry for any man that thinks that he could have more than one wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's the design, as Jesus, when he talked about it in Matthew 19, he said, here's how it's been always been set up. One man, one woman for life. And so Adam and Eve, Adam had Eve, there was no one else. God did not make Eve and five sisters. It's just Adam and Eve, and then they start having children, and there is not another. Adam couldn't get mad at Eve and say, well, I'm just going to find somebody else. There was nobody else. Mm-hmm. You know, and his kids had kids, and then everything grew from there. But yeah, for a deacon, for a pastor, and let's just face it, for a Christian, God wants, let marriage be held in honor among all, Hebrews chapter 13 says, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. And Chris, we've talked about this a lot. You need to be very wise before you make the decision to say, I do. You need to really do your homework. You need to date sufficiently. You need to get input from other people, because that is a decision that lasts for the rest of your life. And so be wise in that. And DeMond Shook, as our last caller said, he told me one time, and this is really true, he said, you know what the number one problem in marriage is? I said, what's that? He said, people make a bad choice. Yeah. They hadn't thought through. You know, you and I have talked about compatibility.
Oh, that's huge.
You know, you marry somebody that you're just not compatible with. Doesn't mean you're going to get divorced, but it's like that was a bad choice.
Yeah, it's going to be a constant struggle. Well, you know, the person that you choose to marry doesn't complete you. You know, you're only complete in the Lord. Only the Lord completes you. Mm-hmm. But as a leader, as a deacon, you've made a good choice and you have a spouse that loves you and encourages you and is it a helpmate to you. And that makes you a better leader. And that makes you a better servant. That makes you a better deacon if you have a wife like that. And you actually can, you know, lead together, serve together as mm-hmm. husband and wife. We have that case where they go and they visit the widows together as husband and wife because their marriage is strong and their ministry comes out of their marriage.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, I appreciate that, Luke. Thanks for your call and thanks for listening to the program. Well, we have Carl on the line from South Carolina. Carl, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. I have a comment and a question all in one. As the scripture says, a bishop or a deacon must be the husband of one wife. Well, first of all, I think the first question is, should a deacon and a pastor be saved? The answer to that question is, of course. And then if you're saved, then the purpose of Jesus coming is to change that life. So you're no longer the same person. So, and then that leads to another question. If you must be the husband of one wife, that tells me, you know, you could take it in the same dogmatic way that you must be married. Mm-hmm. A deacon must be married. And then he must have children. And then mm-hmm. if he's going to have children, they got to be behaved children. So that's about the gist of what I want to say.
Right. Yeah, in that line of thinking, Carl, if you take it to that extreme, then Paul couldn't serve. Mm-hmm. He wasn't married.
Now he had a call to celibacy.
Right. He may have been married at one time. Jesus couldn't be. You say, Jesus, well, you're the head of the church. You can't serve as a deacon because you're not the husband of one wife. I mean, it just becomes ridiculous. I think what the scripture is saying, that the guy that you have in leadership as the pastor or as a deacon, he needs to be faithful to his wife if he's married. And, you know, if it's a second marriage due to death, or if it's a second marriage due to something in his past that the Lord's grace has forgiven, that he has been restored in his relationship, just like with Peter. Peter denied the Lord three times. He had to have that one-on-one meeting with the Lord. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Where the Lord restored him, there had to be sufficient time for his heart to be made right. And then God could use him again. You're not ever damaged goods thrown off into, well, you're in the garbage heap, I can never use you. The Lord doesn't throw anything. You know, we throw away broken things. The Lord doesn't, as Adrian Rogers said, I love this, he said, the Lord doesn't use anything until he first breaks it. Mm-hmm. Just like he had to break Jacob and dislocate his hip so that he could use him, and Jacob became Israel. And so, you know, I think that's the message we have to share with everybody, is no matter how badly you may have messed up in life, if you come to the Lord like the prodigal did, you come to your senses, you leave the pigsty, you come to the Lord in true repentance, brokenness, and confession, God restores you and he cleanses you and he can still use you, maybe not in the same degree as before you messed up, but he can still use you and your life can still have tremendous value and you can earn reward for eternity in heaven.
Well, just like Saul turning to Paul, mm-hmm. you know, this great conversion, this dramatic conversion, and then used greatly in the history of the church.
Right. Well, we have just about a minute left, but we have Alicia from Texas on the line. Alicia, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I was just listening this morning, and, you know, my husband is part of the worship team in our church. I'm from Texas, and he has not wanted to really move up into that role within our church. But I think about the men who do and the women that are behind those men, and I think mm-hmm. that, you know, it definitely also has a lot to do with who you're marrying and mm-hmm. that the woman that you're with is someone who's going to be supportive of you moving into that type of role. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't have that support system, then that makes all the difference in the world.
Right. very good point, Alicia. We meet with anybody that would be new coming on. We meet beforehand with him and his wife to talk through things about this commitment, because it is important. It is a marriage and family thing. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Chris, thanks for being my guest today. As we talked about this important subject, maybe you want to go and share it with some of your deacons or your pastor. You can go to AFR.net and listen to any of the previous programs, Real Truth for Today. Hey, go out today, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and let God use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.